This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSIN action update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Many bettors find value outside of the side or the total on Follow the Money with Mitch and Pauly. Doug, the prop guy from PickWise.com, discusses the process of betting NBA player props.
My process is fluid, you know, as books get sharper and sharper to these lines. But it's really like what I'm doing is really taking more of a deep dive into all the advanced stats that I could get my hands on. Obviously, I look at the raw numbers of how a player's doing lately, how a player's done over the course of the season, how the player's done against the opponent, but I'm also looking really at how the player is producing, like how he's getting his production, what plays the team is running, you know, to get a player points, or how a player's getting his rebounds or his assists. And then just as much as I look at the player, I'm really looking at the matchup. The way I look at these player props, it's not really a player prop, it's more of a situation. You know, as much as I would love to hammer a guy like Joel Embiid's points prop every game because he's scoring up towards 30 points a game, you know, it's also just as much about how the defense is going to play him. So I'm looking at the matchup as well, seeing how they defend similar guys, how they've defended this player in the past. And yeah, I'm running some low-level projections. I'm not modeling per se, but I am running some low-level projections on how I think the game will go and, you know, what that player will wind up producing.
Doug, the prop guy from PickWise.com, on his process for selecting NBA player props on Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paul Howard, weekdays 7 to 10 a.m. on VSIN. It's the NBA All-Star Weekend. The Utah Jazz are off to a terrific start this season. Tim Doyle of CBS Sports told Mike Palm and Amal Shah on the Nuts that he thinks the Jazz are for real.
I'm holding a Jazz NBA championship ticket, and I feel really good about it because I got locked in at 35-1. And I still think they're being disrespected, boys. Obviously, the Lakers are your favorites. Clippers are still getting some love. Nets are getting some love. Bucks. I mean, all these teams are in front of the Jazz. Guys, what do they need to do to start getting that respect? You see the odds right there? The Lakers and LeBron James are your favorite. The Nets, I believe, are the clear-cut best team in the Eastern Conference. The rest of the Eastern Conference, I think, is a massive, massive question mark. But I still think the Jazz have value at 9-1.
Tim, let me answer your question. They'd have to move the team from Salt Lake City.
Is that what it is? Yeah, is that what I just saw that they're doing a Housewives now from Utah. And my first thought was, how boring would that be? But I've heard, like, the Housewives in Utah, they get down. So that's why they gave them a TV show.
It's all one house.
Tim Doyle of CBS Sports on the Nuts with Mike Palm and Amal Shah, heard weekdays 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern on VSIN. The Lakers are plus 280 to win the NBA title. Brooklyn Nets are 3-1. Clippers 5-1. Milwaukee is plus 750. And Utah is at 8-1. The Arizona Cardinals signed J.J. Watt to a two-year, $31 million deal. VSIN host and former NFL executive Mike Lombardi.
Makes no sense. It's like, I'm going to win the press conference. Good. You won the press conference. You just gave J.J. Watt his golden parachute. Is it a smart football move? I don't think it is. I really don't.
Arizona 40-1 to win Super Bowl 56. It's March, and that means it's time for the madness. Our VSIN experts are watching the bubble teams, conference tournaments, and looking for the future Cinderellas to give you the betting edge heading into the tournament. Now is the time to start your free VSIN trial to get members-only daily email updates, our upcoming bracket betting guide, and 24/7 coverage. Get ready for betting the madness. Sign up for your free trial of VSIN today at VSIN.com/subscribe. With your VSIN action update, I'm Tony DeZiri.
Get the latest VSIN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
Before you place your next bet, visit VSIN.com for all the latest data and powerful betting tools. Start with our live odds, team comparisons, and previews for every game on the schedule. Then dive deeper with live tracking of betting trends and line movements. And don't miss our unique tools, including odds comparisons from sportsbooks across the country, prop bet search engine, and custom parlay calculator. Everything you need to increase your betting knowledge and confidence is at your fingertips. Visit VSIN.com today.
Our VSiN experts live and breathe sports betting, and we've assembled the best team here in Las Vegas and from sportsbooks across the country to help you learn how to become a better handicapper. We go beyond picks and predictions to discuss the numbers and analysis that matter to sports bettors. We are always on for you with TV, radio, and digital coverage. Get everything we have to offer, including our upcoming bracket betting guides for under $50 from now through the College Hoops Finals. Visit vsin.com/subscribe to sign up for this special offer today.
We're a week away from Selection Sunday, and today some tournament bids will be punched to the NCAA tournament. And we also have some critical matchups in conference play to determine seeding for tournaments in the conference that are coming up in the following week. Welcome to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Sennett live of the MGM Grand in Detroit at the BetMGM Sportsbook. James Salinas joins us from Denver, Colorado. And in the VSiN studios at the South Point of Las Vegas, it is Adam. Welcome into the program. Let's talk Iowa and Wisconsin to start the show. Joe Wieskamp has left the floor with the Iowa Hawkeyes, and that is a big loss for Iowa. They are currently up on Wisconsin at Carver Hawkeye Arena, but the junior from Muscatine, Iowa, averages better than 15 points, 6 rebounds per game. Iowa, the 7.5-point favorite. James up 7 right now, but now Wieskamp out, Joe Nungy already done for the season with a knee injury. The injuries start to pile up for the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Absolutely, and C.J. Frederick has also been nursing an injury. So actually, I did bet this at the live point. I took a Wisconsin plus 11.5 right then. Not so much right when that happened, but I've watched to see. Yeah, the kids are still going to play hard, but I did watch Coach Fran McCaffrey run out there to go 10 to his sharpshooter, and you could see the look of concern on his face, knowing that he has already had, you know, the Hawkeyes have already had a couple of injuries, and as far as Nungy's gone for the season. Like you said, Mike, so big, you know, as far as the depth is concerned, that's concerning for Iowa at their front court positions. But I think that's where some of these games will tread lightly. At least I'm kind of treading lightly through some of these. We'll dig into matchups today, but part of it is going to be motive. And I think for teams such as a team like Iowa that already has their spot solidified rolling into not only the conference tournament, but yeah, looking for a big seed going into the dance here in a couple weeks. Ultimately, this game doesn't mean a whole lot. So I think from a coaching perspective, the kids are still going to compete. They're going to want to get after it. But from a coaching standpoint, yeah, you might be a little more leery of how many minutes you're going to give certain players, depending on where this number, you know, how the second half plays out here. So ultimately, that's why I took a shot with it. I took the flyer with the Badgers plus 11.5 at a live line just a couple of minutes ago there, Adam.
Yeah, James, and I understand exactly why you would choose to do that. It's a good number considering where this thing was when it first opened. I actually laid the 6 with Iowa when it first opened yesterday, and now we saw it close 7.5. Wieskamp had been off to a great start in this game, and I was actually listening to the Iowa radio broadcast on the way in here. They were talking about how his confidence had really grown and what an effective player he'd been for Iowa of late. So it is a big loss, as Mike mentioned, and Iowa's going to need to keep up that offensive efficiency that's been the hallmark all year long without one of their best scorers.
Iowa number 2 in the nation in the KenPom adjusted offensive efficiency, 125.3 points per 100 possessions. Iowa number 4 in the KenPom, up 7 on Wisconsin. It's been defense that's been the problem for Iowa of late. However, they have gotten better defensively just in time for the tournament. 7 of their last 8 opponents, they've held to fewer than 70 points. Only 5 of their first 18 games that they hold opponents to fewer than 70 points. If you toss out North Carolina Central, Western Illinois, and Northern Illinois, they held only 3 of their first 18 to fewer than 70. So Iowa getting better. Joe Wieskamp has left the game with Wisconsin with an injury, has yet to return for the Hawkeyes. In the American Athletic Conference Tournament, a team that is trying to state its case for the fourth number one seed in the country, the Houston Cougars, a 10-point favorite over Memphis, James. And at the break, it's a 3-point game with Kelvin Sampson's Cougars up on Memphis 39-36.
Yeah, and so this one, I played it live as well as far as the total was concerned. The total now, or at least what I got it at, was 149.5. And I think from looking at watching the game early play out, Memphis was putting a lot. They were trying to speed tempo up. They were trying to get Houston going. I think Memphis, really, I think that's where their struggles are on the offensive side when they have to play half court. They want to have their defense be able to create some turnovers and some runouts and some easy baskets, which it did in that first half, especially early in the first half. But then what's happened now is because of that pressure, they've gotten a lot of foul trouble. I see right now I'm looking at the halftime box score. All five starters have two fouls, as well as Jeffries coming off the bench. He's got three fouls. So they are in some significant foul trouble rolling into this second half. So I'm not sure if Coach Hardaway is going to be able to continue applying that full court pressure, just knowing that his players, they're still right. I mean, they're right. It's a 4-point game right now, Adam. They're right in contention to compete and win this game, but I think as far as that full court press is concerned, I think if they continue to get in foul trouble, he may have to dial some of that back. So I'm hoping that's kind of the sense of what I see tempo happening in this second half, to where it becomes more of a half court affair. Both teams are definitely very stellar defensively in the half court, so hence that's where I put my money on live line going under 149.5.
I understand as this game went off, 135.5, 134 actually here in Vegas at a couple spots. I think you are on the right one there. I actually might go ahead and get in on Houston laying 8.5 at the break. They were a 10.5-point favorite at one point before closing at 10. And you mentioned that foul trouble combined with the fact that Houston only shot 3-for-12 from 3-point range in the first half. Memphis, not a team that can continue to score at the kind of pace that they would need to keep up with Houston, as you mentioned, if that defense isn't creating offense.
Memphis 55th at adjusted tempo, according to KenPom. Houston would rather slow it down. So far, James, it appears that with that full court pressure, that Memphis is dictating the style of play right now. And that's an awful lot of points right there for the first half for a Houston team that only allows 57.3 per game. So right now, the Memphis game plan seems to be going according to form, with the exception of the foul trouble.
Yeah, that's the key, right? And I think for Hardaway, they got what they wanted. They got the up-tempo start, or at least for the first half, got Houston kind of out of their rhythm, because they were having – I've watched a couple of the inbound plays. They weren't prepared for it. I don't know if they expected that was going to transpire, especially for as long – as many possessions as that full-court pressure did come at them. So now you're going to go into halftime. They'll be able to adjust to it, not only from a X's and O's standpoint for the Cougars. They do have very good guards that can handle the basketball, especially with Sasser and Grimes. But I think here too, Hardaway has to be conscious of the foul trouble. It's not a deep team. It's a very young team there in Memphis, and not a lot of obviously experience, and not very deep either. So he's going to have to dig deeper into that bench based on this foul trouble that is going on. So I think the first 5 minutes or so is going to be really key to see if they continue that pressure and if they get any more foul trouble. So I may look to, I kind of like what Adam was talking about too here, as far as looking at that halftime line, basically the live line now with Houston plus or at -8.5, where it was up to 10. I think maybe I might play that one just to see, once we get back into the game, how that first 5 minutes goes.
Let's jump over to the Southeastern Conference now. Florida and Tennessee playing at Thompson Bowling Arena in Knoxville. The Florida Gators led by as many as 14 of the first half. They led by 5 at the break. They are in the second half right now, 16:06 to go there. Florida leading it 39-34. James, Tennessee went off as the 5.5-point home favorite.
Well, and Tennessee is just one of these maddening teams. They've early in the season, I remember seeing them against Missouri, and they looked like world beaters when they went into Missouri and thoroughly dominated the Tigers on the road. And both sides of the floor, they were getting up in transition. They have a lot of talent on that team. And defensively, especially in the half court, you are not going to get any kind of good looks within the paint. So lots of talent for Rick Barnes' team, but kind of a mix of some some more seasoned players as well as some younger players that kind of now are trying to figure out what is the identity of this offense. And I think that's the thing with Tennessee. They started off really hot early in the season, 10-1 start, but then they've just been playing 500 balls since. I kind of looked at teams and kind of project out. Obviously, we'll see how the seeding plays out once we get to the big dance here in a couple weeks. But ultimately, a team like Tennessee, who just still is trying to figure out its identity on offense in the half court, this is one of those teams that has tons of talent. Rick Barnes has been around a long time, but sometimes these are the kind of teams that I like to fade early in the tournament. Those first rounds, we see some of these teams come in and they get upset. This would be one team that I'm looking at. I don't have a play on this game in particular against Florida here, Adam, but once that dance rolls around, Tennessee is going to be a team that I'm looking to fade.
I'll tell you what, James, you and I are simpatico on this one. I waited as long as I could to see how many points this would move toward Florida. Opened at Tennessee 4, moved out to 6 before close, and I grabbed the 6 with Florida about 2 minutes before tip. I just think this Tennessee team is not going to be able to score with any sort of regularity. And when you look at what Florida can do athletically, they have really been able to control the tempo of this game. So ultimately, I am holding 6, feeling okay about it at this point, as Tennessee has really struggled, as usual, to put the ball in the hole.
Quick question for both of you. Outside of Arkansas and Alabama, who do you think could get through the SEC tournament with a title? You got LSU, Missouri, and you've got these two teams, Florida and Tennessee. And James, you're fading Tennessee, but is there another team outside of the big two that you think could win the tournament title and head to the NCAA tournament with the automatic bid?
Yeah, outside of those two, I mean, Florida might be what I would be. I mean, Kentucky has had such a difficult season all season long, really tough non-conference schedule early on that I think Calipari, he admonished himself for doing that and put his young team in just a place where they just lost a lot of confidence. Now, yeah, I don't like Kentucky's shooting ability, but when it comes to the size of that team, what they can do in the half court as far as defense is concerned, I would be looking to bet them. But if I was going to take a flyer at something, I'm sure they're getting a pretty good price to win that SEC title coming up here this coming week. That might be a team just based on talent and pedigree, and then knowing that looking at some of the flaws that we've seen, especially with Alabama. Alabama is the kind of team that I see is when you start to get into tournament play, whether it's the conference tournament or deeper into March Madness, when the tempo starts to slow down and you have to execute in the half court, not always a good matchup when you're going against a team like Kentucky with the size and the length that they have defensively.
I would just back up the idea that James was saying there with I would look at that Florida team and say that when they have everything going, I think they can compete with just about anybody. So you look at our odds and you see Missouri next on the list. That Missouri team has really faded in the second half. LSU doesn't defend anybody. So, I could see where Tennessee could make a little run just based on the defense, but I don't think they're beating Alabama or Arkansas.
Alabama, the plus 225 favorite. Arkansas, 3-1. Tennessee, plus 350. Florida, 5-1. Missouri, 6-1. LSU, 10-1. Kentucky, 16-1. Vanderbilt, 500-1. That's where you put your bankroll, gentlemen. I'm wearing orange today, not because of the Tennessee-Florida matchup, because Campbell's playing for the Big South Conference Championship. Oh, what a day for me. For me only. They had the game here on the main big screen at the BetMGM at the Sportsbook at the MGM Grand, and then they put the Wisconsin-Iowa game on. Oh, well. And I know, James, that you put your bankroll on Campbell at plus 12 or plus 11.5. Campbell down right now 16, 49-33. Thoughts on this one so far?
Simply a karma bet, and for you, my friend, that's all.
Oh, well, that is. Thank you.
Riding with the camels. Yeah, nothing of significance whatsoever. I mean, this is what makes the tournament time in college basketball fun, right? Upsets do happen. Although looking at it right now, I mean, the camels were competing. It was a 32. They were a down 6 at the half, and some strong takes to the hole early in that first half for Campbell in competing. But Winthrop now is pulling away in the second half. Mike, unfortunately, maybe it's better that you're not seeing the game and the content manager decided to change to the Wisconsin game, because right now they're at a break with about 12 and a half minutes to go, but Winthrop now has extended their lead out to 16. They lead 49-33.
Yeah, I'm content managing on my laptop here. I'm watching it. It's a mess. So anyway, let's move over to the Missouri Valley Conference, an intriguing matchup here, and I want to get your take on whether you believe the Missouri Valley Conference will get two bids. Obviously, the winner of the title game between Loyola and Drake will be the automatic qualifier from the Missouri Valley Conference, but both of these teams have put together stellar resumes. Loyola, 8-point favorites today against Drake. The total, 125. James, do you have a side you like in this one?
I actually don't have a side. Now, to answer your first question, do I think both of them get in, whoever the loser of this game is, get the at-large bid? I think that they do. So I think the body of work and the resume for both teams, I think both teams will get in. So I think that kind of takes the pressure off of this game. That's normally not the case in the Missouri Valley Championship game, right? It's just that automatic bid is the one that is coveted and needs to win the title to get into the big dance. And I think from that standpoint, that's the way I'm viewing both of these teams. I think they both get in regardless of the outcome here, especially if it's Drake that pulls the upset. Big dog right now, and rightfully so. I think it's just the injuries, and that's what's so unfortunate for the Bulldogs, right? They've been learning how to play without their forward, their leading scorer, Hemphill, who went. It's been about a month now that he went down with his foot injury. Maybe back. We'll see if they do make it to the big dance here. But the other piece is they just lost this last week their point guard, Roman Penn. And I think that's the struggle for them. Those two injuries, that's why the only play I have on this game is I bet the under team total for Drake, under 58.5. I just think it's going to be hard in the half court against that Rambler defense to be able to score consistently. So that's the only play that I have, under 58.5 team total on Drake.
We'll get Adam's take on this one and some all-star game injury news to report with Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM, continues on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Sennett with James Salinas and Adam Candy. We're talking Missouri Valley Conference Championship game today. Loyola taking on the Drake Bulldogs. And Adam Candy, this matchup, the loser will get in the NCAA tournament, so says the gentleman from Denver, James Salinas. Your thoughts on if both these teams have done enough to make it to the tournament? Drake enters the matchup 25-3, Loyola 23-4, Loyola laying 8 against the Bulldogs.
I agree with James that Loyola's in either way. I don't see any way that a team in the top 20 in net rating that has performed the way that they have is going to be left out of the dance. That said about Drake, I would not lose this game by big numbers if I were Drake and I wanted to make sure that I were in. I think a close loss to Loyola here probably would speak well of how they can perform minus both Penn and Hemphill. But if they get blown out in this game and you add in the fact that they only have one quad one win, they have two quad three losses, dropping to Valpo and to Bradley, I think that's going to make for some very nervous times next Sunday for Drake if they lose this game.
If you work in the Missouri Valley Conference Commissioner's office, you're probably pulling for Drake to win and both get in, with Loyola as an at-large and somebody's bubble burst with that matchup. NBA All-Star game today, some injury news to report. Contract tracing has knocked out both Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. Apparently they have the same barber who has tested positive for COVID-19, so they are out of the All-Star game. Zion Williamson will get the start today at the All-Star game, and it'll be Zion Williamson getting in there for Joel Embiid on Team Durant. And Team LeBron, the 4.5-point favorite, James. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. Money on this game, maybe the total, maybe go over. Are we looking at under 400 today?
Well, I spent my entire morning, fellas, trying to find some defensive metrics for the NBA All-Star Game, and I'll let you know when I find some, because I'm still searching. This is—I mean, it's an exhibition, right? They're coming out. And I know the rules are a little—you know—they're different now. Last year, I think with the what they instituted in the fourth quarter, where it's just the first, you know, for in honor of Kobe Bryant getting to 24 points. So I think the obviously do the math, and we hate doing math. I hate doing math live on the air, but I think that the most points you could score in the fourth quarter, right, would be 47. So I guess that's kind of the challenge, because they start the scores over. And really, ultimately, no, Mike, to answer your question, I don't have any money on this game. It just feels like an exhibition game. I think, and we know that, it's showcasing the talent, and so much talent when it comes to the ball skill of NBA players in this day and age. All the guys can put the ball on the floor. Everybody can shoot it from deep. It's a run-and-gun affair. It's a three-point shooting contest. It's a dunk contest. I don't even know why they have the three-point shooting contest in the dunk contest anymore. Just, it's all transpiring out there during the All-Star game. So, no, Mike, to answer your question, again, I don't have any plays or any bets on the All-Star game or the festivities. Adam, how about you?
Well, James, if you just go to adamcandy.com, you can find all of your NBA defensive All-Star game metrics. I have everything posted up there. Proprietary formula, $9.95, but for you, free today. No, I'm not going to bet on this game. As you said, it's exhibition. I don't want anything to do with it. The Elam ending is interesting in the fourth quarter. They'll stop the game, first dead ball under 4 minutes. They'll set a target score, so at least it makes it more interesting down the stretch to watch.
I started to read the rules there, and I started to glaze over, and I thought, I'm getting too deep in the weeds on this one, and I stopped. Team LeBron, the 4.5-point favorite over Team Durant of the NBA All-Star Game. Let's check in real quick with the Memphis-Houston game. Memphis still in front, 46-44, in that American Athletic Conference matchup in Houston at the Fertitta Center. They're knocking down three-pointers there, James, and some taunting going on. They're firing it up there in Houston. 99 points already, 15:48 to go in the second half.
Yeah, I'm not liking where this pace is going for that live total that I got. I was liking the total. I thought it was there. We'd have a different defensive stand or a defensive tempo here. But yeah, once Memphis starts hitting threes, then it becomes we're seeing it now. This is a game that they didn't, you know, they finally got this game on the schedule. These are the top teams in the conference outside of Wichita State. I know where they're sitting as far as seeding, but I think these teams have been looking forward and hoping to play this game all season long. It's on here. So the taunting, the energy, the effort. There's a lot of edge, a lot of chippiness going on. This is going to be a fun game to go. Houston just took the lead 47-46 with 13.5 minutes to go right now.
Yet another three. Back with more when Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM, rolls on from Detroit, Denver, and Las Vegas here on VSiN. It's March, it's madness. Put them together and we get a cease and desist letter from the NCAA. But you get unlimited betting opportunities for the next month. Now's the time to sign up for your free trial of VSiN to put our experts to work for you. We have the most betting coverage of college hoops anywhere. And I was just getting that March and the Madness piece there. Conference tournaments, live selection Sunday coverage, our upcoming bracket betting guide, everything you need to get ready for betting on the tournament. Sign up for your free trial today at vsin.com/subscribe. 2021 College Hoops full coverage from VSin. Welcome back to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Sennett from the BetMGM Sportsbook at the MGM Grand in downtown Detroit. James Salinas joins us from Denver. Adam Caddy is at the VSiN Studios in Las Vegas. Another Big Ten game that's just about to tip or may have already tipped. Nebraska, the seven-point dog, the dog, at Northwestern. You really can't tell when you've got these two teams who the dog and the favorite would be. They're both just terrible, although Northwestern did pick up a big win against Maryland the other day, which was a bad loss, for Maryland. And the line is Northwestern laying 7.5, so that has moved against Nebraska at home. James, your thoughts on this Big Ten matchup, a stinker?
Well, they're both dogs, and that's why I don't have a play on this game. This is where where are you going to go with games like this, where it all just comes down to we could try to break down matchups and scheduling and these kind of things, but ultimately these are two teams that I think, if you look at motivation, I would assume at this point, this deep into the season, last regular season game of the really challenging 2021 COVID season for these college athletes, I think probably the motive is looking ahead to spring break at this point and looking forward to having the season done. So, Adam, ultimately, no play for me. Let the kids go and play open gym today. Get up and down, have some fun, and enjoy some fun in the sun when you have your spring break in a few weeks.
The underdog is you if you choose to bet on this game. The favorite is anyone who chooses to use 2 hours of their lives in a more productive manner on this Sunday. Moving on.
House always wins. Absolutely. Texas, a 7-point favorite at TCU in Big 12 play today. 136 the total in that one. Texas has won 4 straight in 21 of the last 28 meetings with the Horned Frogs. Texas looking to improve its NCAA tournament resume. This is the kind of game that you can't lose. It just looks bad. It could hurt your seeding. James, your thoughts. Texas at TCU.
Well, and as far as for Texas is concerned, they already have that first round bye. So whether they go 5 or 6 or wherever this is now for the conference tournament coming up here in a few days, they do have that first round bye secured. So I think here, this is one of those ugly spots where I did take the home conference dog here with TCU. I got him at 7.5 earlier. And ultimately, it's not a play on TCU. This is just one of those scheduling spots I look for with Texas. Coming off a really big win the other night at Oklahoma, very competitive win, very emotional game, but this is going to be their 4th straight road game in conference since last Saturday. So again, conference tournament coming up for both teams, obviously, but for the Longhorns here, bigger things on the horizon for them, not only for the conference tournament, but getting into the big dance. This just smells like a game that just smells like a total flat spot for the Longhorns here. So it was something that I was looking at a few days ago when I didn't play that Oklahoma-Texas game, and I was looking forward to this game, hoping that the Longhorns would win that game in Norman, which they did, and then it became just an autoplay once I saw the number at 7.5. That's where I took it. So I'm plugging my nose at him and going with the Horned Frogs at home today.
And I understand why you say it, but TCU has managed to keep a number of games close over the last month in Big 12 play. I mean, I don't think that TCU is live as an outright, but I certainly like the 7.5 points you got there. I stayed off it. As you mentioned, Texas has that bye. Not really sure what the motivation is for either side here, but like your 7.5.
Is that the number you got, James? 7.5 plus 7.5 with TCU there?
Yep, this morning. So I was waiting for that number to come out, actually. We had talked about this on Thursday's show, and I said this is where I was just looking. I like to get into schedules and project out maybe some flat spots for schedules, and that's where, as soon as it came out and I saw it, I took it at 7.5 and didn't want to do a whole lot of research. And like Adam said, the Horned Frogs, I think the thing with them is they have a couple guards. They can take it to the cup. And so this is kind of – I see this with Texas, too, where this might be one of those kind of games where, not a whole lot of – definitely not much of incentive in this game rolling into the conference tournament in a few days. But I think for these teams here, I know the way Texas plays their half court. They got some guys that like to just put it on the – they'll play a lot of ISO ball, too, and we may get one of those games where both teams, especially in the backcourt, trying to show each other up with their ball skills and taking it to the rack. So I think this might be more of an open floor game, not as much intensity and focus paid on the defensive side. Let the kids get after it. Maybe a little open gym sense in this pay with both teams, because I do like the ball handling ability for both teams. So hence that's where I think it's going to be more of a shoot. I was thinking about the total actually too, but in this case, once I have a play on the side, I don't correlate and I don't play at the total if I like a side.
Penn State and Maryland in the Big Ten. Maryland 28th in the KenPom. I'm curious to see if you guys think that Maryland will get into the NCAA tournament. They're the 5.5-point favorite at home against Penn State. As I mentioned, a bad loss to Northwestern the other day. This would be another bad loss for Maryland. They're laying 5.5 in. This is a team that does have something to play for, James.
Yep, they do. And Penn State has been look at their record aside. I've seen them play a number of games in conference play, and they compete. Those kids play hard. So this isn't just the team that's just kind of out there. And like we were talking about Northwestern and Nebraska potentially looking ahead to spring break. I think for Penn State, yeah, they have to run the table and win the conference tournament to get into the big dance. So that's not likely to happen. But I like the competitiveness that we've seen. I feel like that team plays hard for the most part on a nightly basis within conference play. So I was actually looking at this number. I see some juice. It's still 5.5 out here across the board for the most part out here in Colorado. But juice is going towards the favorite, leaning towards Maryland. So if it gets to 6, Adam, I think I'm going to be a taker here and take the Nittany Lions if I can get a 6.
Understand where you're coming from there. And to your question, Mike, you ask about, do you think Maryland is in? Obviously, that Northwestern loss hurts, but you look at who they've beaten. A win over Illinois, a win over Wisconsin, a win over Purdue. I think the strength of that in the Big Ten is going to be enough for Maryland to get in one way or the other.
Maryland, the 5.5-point favorite over Penn State. Greg Hoops Peterson likes Penn State +6, as does James Salinas. More to come. We'll get you updated on what's happening in college basketball when Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM, continues here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. With confidence with risk-free first bet up to $600 at BetMGM. Simply sign up, use the bonus code VSIN600, and you're on your way to betting with the king of sportsbooks. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use the promo code VSIN600 to make a risk-free bet up to $600. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia only. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. Tennessee, call or text the red line at 800-889-9789. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. We're back on Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Sennett from Detroit. James Salinas is in Denver. And Adam Candy joins us for the VSiN Studios in Las Vegas with an update on what's happening in college basketball. And they've thrown defense out the window in Houston.
Oh, have they ever. Memphis and Houston do not like James and his live under bet, as the three-point shots have been falling. And this matchup sits at 56 all now at the under 8 timeout, as Memphis and Houston have been lighting it up in the second half, tracking just about where we were previously, 147 on the total. Houston, a 2.5-point favorite on the live line. Elsewhere in bets that are going against me, Wisconsin and Iowa. Wisconsin has turned up the three-point shooting. It's 44-43. Actually, you know what? Now I look up and see, need to refresh my screen. It is Iowa 48, Wisconsin 46. And we are midway through the second half there as Wisconsin is shooting the ball quite well. We look in the Florida and Tennessee game. And boy, I felt good for quite a while about having 6 points with Florida when they were up double digits. And then the Gators, from the 17-minute mark to the 7-minute mark of the second half, scored a tidy 4 points. And it is Tennessee 55-46 at the moment over the Florida Gators. Tennessee a 9-point favorite live with a 124 total. Cincinnati and East Carolina going at it as well, coming toward the end of the first half. Cincinnati with a 34-33 lead, and the ECU Pirates, who went off as 2-point dogs, are 1-point favorites. Northwestern and Nebraska, 11-5 Northwestern at the under 12 timeout in the first half. Cats are 8.5-point favorites live.
Campbell trailing 71-45 against Winthrop. If you had the Camels plus 12, it's a good chance you're going
to lost.
Lose. That was me. Yes, thank you. Tip of the cap to Warner Wolf. Michigan State today, Breslin Center in East Lansing. The second-ranked Wolverines headed to Spartan Country to take on Tom Izzo's squad. They played just a couple of days ago. What was it, Thursday they played? Yep, it was a Michigan win by 19, 69-50. In that one, Michigan State held to just 36% shooting from the field, 0 of 9 from three-point range. They turned the ball over 12 times, and they were out-rebounded 34-28. It's got to get better today, James, you would think. At least that's what Spartan fans are hoping. Michigan State, in or out of the NCAA tournament is my first question. With a win here today, it could certainly help, but they're the 8.5-point home dog, another home conference dog as well. Here, Michigan State. James, your thoughts?
Well, so I did play the home conference dog, too. I just didn't do it for the full game. I took Michigan State plus 4.5 in the first half, laid $1.14 on that. So a little bit of extra juice on that with Michigan State, 4.5, first half only. I think we bet this on, I think it was Thursday, yeah, because we were on the show talking about it Thursday, and bet the team total under for Michigan State. I think it was 63, 64, somewhere around there. Figured this was going to be where Michigan righted themselves. They had a really challenging schedule, a lot of high competitive games over the course since they got back from that 3-week COVID break, and obviously the Wolverines are clearly the better team, and they played like it the other night and really just got into Sparty in the half court, their half court offense, and really just made life miserable for them. I think there was one point where they didn't score for maybe 12 minutes, so don't suspect that's what will happen today, at least not defensively to that extreme. Again, here's another spot with Michigan. You just came off a really big win against your in-state rival. Now you're going to go play him again. You're going to go play him on the road. You are the number one seed rolling into the tournament here in a few days. Just for the incentive for the 40 minutes for the Wolverines here, I could see them winning this game and being able to over the course of 40 minutes, really start to establish a dominance if they play with full and max intensity. And I feel like at least for the first half, that's what I'm banking on, is that for Sparty here. Yeah, are they into the tournament? I don't know. That's definitely, I just look at the games, tell me the number, and I'll see if I want to bet into it or not. But for this game here today, that is my bet. I am betting into Michigan State first half plus the 4.5. Now, as far as getting into the tournament, Adam, how do you feel about Sparty's chances coming up here in 2 weeks?
Bubblicious is how I feel about it right now, because they are sitting squarely on that bubble. And I think a win today, obviously, I think is going to get them in no matter what happens in the tournament. I don't think that's going to happen. But you look at the way they finished the season and where they were perceived to be at the start of the year when they were thought to be a top 10 team. You see the fact that they were able to right the ship. They get the win over Ohio State. I think that this is a Michigan State team that the committee wants to put into the tournament, and so it's going to be a matter of Michigan State playing their way out if they do. I played this at 8 with Michigan based largely on the talent gap between these two teams and the fact that in that first game, Michigan State 0.76 points per possession. even if they improve that, even if they get to something where they don't miss all 9 3-pointers they take in the game, I think that Michigan is going to be able, if this becomes a foul game at the end, to ride this out against Michigan State. Not the most comfortable bet I made on the day, but -8 with Michigan for me.
Michigan 69-50 on Thursday. They're the 8.5-point favorite today at the Breslin Center in East Lansing. Michigan's KenPom numbers are terrific. Number 2 in the KenPom, number 6 adjusted offense, number 4 adjusted defense. Michigan State, not so much, 61 overall, 96 on offense, 40th on defense. So a tough year for Tom Izzo's Spartans. Michigan, the +125 favorite to win the Big Ten tournament title. Iowa +350, Ohio State +350, Illinois 7-1. For a moment, James, let's talk about Illinois. Another impressive win for the Fighting Illini yesterday, 73-68 as a 2-point road dog at Ohio State. Illinois, they're putting together an impressive stretch here. They, you know, we haven't talked much about Illinois being potentially a number one seed in the tournament, but if they continue this, they have got to be in the conversation.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what a run they're on right now, and especially with DeSomo did come back yesterday and was a factor, especially in that second half, in that win, a closeout win over Ohio State that had that they had a 4-point lead with about 4 minutes to go. I think Liddell hit a 3 to put them up 4. I forget exactly what the point total was at that time, but they didn't score again. I think for Ohio State, they just ran out of gas. You saw Liddell, he had to carry them for quite a while on his back, both on the perimeter, but also on the interior offensively and defensively, and it really took its toll on him. He ran out of gas that last 4 minutes, and Ohio State's offense did too. They did not score again, and as far as Illinois goes, yeah, being able to close that game out. I think that's where this is a really interesting team, right? They have size with paint presence inside with Coburn. Don't put him at the foul line because that's going to be an adventure. But being able to establish a consistent post presence that they have, as well as the guards. Frazier did not have a good game yesterday, but he's a terrific guard. And really, I think the thing about Illinois that I like is they look like a team that just feels like they have an edge. Yeah, they might be a number one seed. Maybe that's a bad thing for them. I think they would continue that edge if maybe they go in as a 2 seed and feeling like they got disrespected, because I think they've been playing that card for quite a while now and living up to that and competing like it, because as long as they have that chip on their shoulder and playing with that disrespected edge that they kind of create for themselves and feel like they have, they're going to be a really interesting team come March, and it's also going to be interesting to see them get right back after it here this coming week in the Big Ten tournament.
I think Ohio State is a team that is far overvalued at this point, and it's because of the defense. If you look at this defense for Ohio State, they have the worst defensive efficiency in the KenPom top 25, and it's by a long shot. I want to get the number here correct, but they are overall 80th in the country in defensive efficiency. They've got to outscore you, and come tournament time, if you're a team that has to outscore another team, if you're not going to win with defense, I worry about the prospects for a team like that in the long term. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying they're going out on the second day, but I also think that, if you're looking at this team as a long-term future, I don't really like where they're headed. You mentioned Illinois. I grabbed 2 with Illinois yesterday right when I saw DeSunmu on the floor warming up. I was kind of surprised we didn't see a little bit more move just based on DeSunmu being in or out. Maybe some folks thought it was baked in the first place, but Io DeSunmu is an absolute difference maker. And to your initial point, Mike, I think that is a clear number one seed for Illinois as long as they don't flame out in the tournament.
Gonzaga 3-1 to win the NCAA tournament title. Michigan 4-1. Baylor 3-1. Illinois 18-1 to win the NCAA tournament title. Not a bad long shot there. And the folks down in Illinois taking some pages from Dabo Sweeney's playbook. Disrespecting, right? Yeah, they're being disrespected. They got a chip on their shoulder, and they're playing like it right now after an upset win yesterday over Ohio State. More to come here. Hour number 2 of Betting Across America from Detroit, Denver, and Las Vegas rolls on in a moment here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.